Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And a very good Thursday evening to you. We welcome you live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River. A big space in the middle tonight. Ed and I not liking each other. He, of course, is the coach, Ed Sarluka. Matt Harmon sitting in tonight, the two of us. Kevin Williams, what do we usually say? On assignment, that's the term. On assignment. Kevin Williams is on assignment, so it's just Ed and myself breaking down the high school football scene here in Monmouth and Ocean County. Thanks so much for giving us part of your Thursday evening. Big week of high school football coming up. Week six around the Shore Conference with a lot of divisional races now starting to heat up. Good show tonight on tap for you as well. We'll talk things over Barnegat Bengal-wise, Manalapan Braves. We'll be joined by Kevin Callahan, the Monmouth University coach at the top of the second hour. Scott Stump of Shore Sports Network will wrap it up with us towards the bottom part of the show. We're on from 7 to 8:30 tonight and brought to you by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Ed, let's just get into last week's activity, which, of course, was highlighted by the one that sent shockwaves around the Shore Conference, the number two-ranked Green Dragons of Brick, pretty much the consensus number two team in the Shore Conference, number 11 team in the state, falling to winless Wall at that point in double overtime, 28-27. I know you've talked to many that were either involved directly or at the game. Really just a shocking, shocking result.
Yeah, Dan Curcione's Wall Knights pulled off the shocker of maybe the past 10 or 15 years now. A lot of people, figured that Wall had no shot. However, they have played their opponents fairly tough, even though they came in 0-4. Rick, meanwhile, had come off a huge win the week before in overtime when they beat Jackson. So, on paper, it looked like an easy win for Brick. But Brick played very lethargically in the first half. Wall jumped on them, led it 14-0. At halftime, Brick scored quickly to start the second half, but then Wall's defense came up big time after time. They controlled the game. They controlled the ball. Brick tied it with about under 2 minutes left in the game. Went into overtime. Both teams scored in the first overtime. Brick scored first in the second overtime, but missed the point. Those points will kill you. Wall scored after a 10-yard holding penalty had pushed them back to the 35-yard line. They scored on the very next possession on a pass from Cluley, their very talented junior quarterback. Kicked the point, pandemonium.
Yeah, huge win. Pandemonium at Brick, but Wall getting their first win of the year and the first for their first year head coach Dan Curcione. So Wall now 1-4 overall, Brick 4-1, but still perhaps more importantly, and I think that may be our theme pushing forward this week, the divisional races. You know, Brick in terms of an overall loss, you know, of course you don't want to lose. It'll help you some, it'll hurt you somewhere down the line with the state tournament and playoff rankings. Depending on what they do in their next few games before the cutoff, they might be able to throw that game out. But in the division, they still sit 4-0. That is a game better than Jackson Memorial, than Brick Memorial. We saw Jackson again last week in our game of the week, and boy, did they continue to look good. Just steamrolled past Toms River North 35-7.
Yes, and Jackson will come back this week in a very tough A-South game against a very hot Brick Memorial Mustang team. They have run off four straight with Tim Santiago taking over at the quarterback spot. He ran for over 200 yards this year against a 3-1, pretty good Old Bridge, team from Middlesex County. So Memorial coming in very hot. Jackson, one of the top dogs in A-South. Huge win, elimination game. It seems like every week now there are elimination games, as is the Barnegat Borough game, which we will broadcast tomorrow night. That's an elimination game in the B-South. Jackson-Brick Memorial, elimination game in the A-South.
And obviously we'll be able to talk about that game that we will broadcast tomorrow night live from the home of the Panthers of Point Pleasant Borough. The Bengals of Barnegat will call on Point Borough. That is our game of the week. A couple of other games certainly of interest during the course of the weekend. Long Branch knocking off Rumson. That was an extremely important win for the Green Wave, who I think have flown under the radar a little bit. You know, not necessarily their record, which jumps out at you at 4-1, but Willis, their outstanding tailback, he had over 200 yards, just continues to dominate in terms of stats. And that is a football team where at the beginning of the year you just weren't quite sure where they would be. Right now, five games in, they're 4-1.
Yeah, DeMar Willis, like you said, Matt, leading the Shore in rushing over 1,000 yards again. In fact, he's approaching 1,200 yards with numerous touchdowns, and he has been the talk of the Shore at running back, along with Mayfield, who we'll have here when Ed Guerrieri and his Manalton Braves come on in our second half hour. But there's some great running backs, and Willis is certainly one of them, and Long Branch a good football.
Just four undefeated teams remaining after week five. Freehold right now at 5-0, Manalapan at 5-0, St. John Vianney at 5-0, Red Bank Catholic at 5-0. I guess if you had to pick a surprise out of that bunch going into the season, you know, St. John Vianney, I thought people knew that they had talent. I would vote Freehold. I don't know that anyone would have thought Freehold at this point of their year would be 5-0, and right now a top Class A North by a half game over Manalapan at 4-0 in the division, 5-0 overall.
Yeah, very interesting, because all these schools will play each other. Freehold on their schedule still has Wall, Tomberries, and then the big one with Manalapan, last game on their schedule. So they have, as far as the first eight games are concerned. So Wall, East, certainly winnable games for Freehold. They got a definite advantage there. Manalapan, meanwhile, very tough individual schedule. Middletown South, RBC, and Freehold, teams that are overall 14-1. So a lot of big games down the stretch here in the next 3 or 4 weeks to be played with playoff indications, playoff implications, I should say, and also division race.
On the bye last week, Asbury Park, Lakewood, Neptune Shore Regional, Southern Regional, and Toms River South, as we've been talking about early on here on our Investors Bank High School Football Show. A lot of divisions still up for grabs. Obviously, an extremely important game. We'll talk about it in great detail. Manalapan and Middletown South, part of the A North race. St. John Vianney pacing things in a central brick right now in a South. Red Bank Catholic at 4-0 in Class B North, 5-0 overall. Big game this week in Class B Central. Modern Day Prep will take on Shore Regional. Both of those teams are undefeated, as is Point Beach at 2-0. And we'll obviously talk some B South football tonight as well. Barnegat, Lakewood, Central, and Point Borough, along with Jackson Liberty, all 3-1 within the division. So five teams really still alive for a piece, at least, of a potential division championship. We'll step out here, take our first break. When we come back, we will be joined by head coach of the Barnegat Bengals, Rob Davis, and his outstanding senior quarterback, Sinjin Erskine. All after this quick timeout, you're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back in here on a Thursday night in downtown Toms River. The Shore Sports Network honors a team each week for their performance on or off the field. The team of the week is powered by Jersey Mike's, who will also provide them with subs. And this past week, it was the Crimson Knights of Wall. They were able to win the award and get some free food, compliments of Jersey Mike's, delivered by former Wall alum Chad Turpak. A potential, perhaps, to win the award this week. The Barnegat Bengals. Coach, you'd be hungry after the weekend, maybe?
That'd be nice.
Grab some subs. How are you? Rob Davis and Sinjin Erskine talking some Bengal football here. Is Barnegat coming up on our game of the week tomorrow night? They will visit the Panthers of Point Pleasant Borough. And, Coach, we'll start here with you. Ed and I just talking about it a little bit. What a crazy division. It seems like the last couple years it's been that way in B South. Right now, five teams all sitting at 3-1.
A lot of parity. A lot of good coaches, very competitive games. Every week is a battle. You got to prepare for each team. They have things, strengths, and weaknesses that kind of make it a tough week for everybody.
Sinjin, what team has surprised you the most of those five right there? I know Central, you lost to Central a little bit earlier in the season in your second game, but of those five, what do you think?
For sure, I feel like Jackson Liberty really stepped up this year. I mean, they played well against us. I mean, last year they were down a little bit, but this year they played very well.
3-2 right now, Jackson Liberty, right?
Yes.
Sinjin, I feel like obviously we've been doing this for a long time here on the Shore Sports Network, and you're a senior right now, and it seems like that's actually been a long time coming. We've been calling your name for so many years. Came into the program, you've been a 3-year starter, and I feel like when you got there, it was I think there was one transition year in between Sinjin and Nick San Giacomo, who obviously threw for a ton of yards, and I think everyone kind of figured the offense would just kind of go back to that. But you're a different type of player. You actually run the football almost as much as you throw. But so far this year, you've accounted for about 900 yards worth of offense. Do you feel that's a big part of your game, being able to do both?
Yeah, I feel like it just makes teams have to account for two things. So, they can't just sit back and play defense and just play the pass. They got to respect everybody.
4 touchdowns so far on the year, 6 through the air. A 74-yard touchdown yard run in there as well. That's some speed.
Yeah, it was a broken play, and I got some blocks downfield. It was nice.
You mean broken like no one ran after you, or broken? Broken that you just figured out I better start running. Broken.
Yeah, I just started running.
Robbie, you run it for 900 yards, and you passed it for 700. Is that the balance you're looking for offensively?
Yeah, We got athletes that on a perimeter, and also we have a pretty good line, and we try to kind of like spread the ball around a little bit.
Well, athletes is certainly an understatement. Okay, you got this guy sitting next to you, Sinjin Erskine. You've got a Division I recruit going on his way to Penn State, Manny Bowen, and you've got the big lineman Sam Madden on his way to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe Sinjin on his way to Bucknell, right?
Yes, sir.
Right now, verbally. So you've got 3 Division I kids right there.
Yep. We know that. We got good kids. They work hard. Sometimes it's hard to. We have one football and a lot of people demanding it. So Sinjin does a good job of spreading the ball around and getting the first downs and touchdowns.
Those are the big guns. Those are the guys you read about in the paper all the time. But give me one or two guys that have
stepped up this year and has fit in and
Tyler
brought you
McGinnis.
To where you are.
There Tyler
you go.
McGinnis.
Your running back.
Yeah, Tyler McGinnis. He was a kid that was playing defense last year and then jumped right into the starting role when A.J. Opry got hurt, and now he's playing on both sides of the football, and he's doing a great job. Our line, Xavier Young, just a tremendous leader on both sides of the ball, vocal leader. We got Kevin Hoffman back, who was injured up to 2 games ago, and so we got a lot of guys all stepping up together. We're playing good football the last 3 games.
Coach, when you think about it, offensively, your number is very, very good, 121 points so far that you have scored. But defensively, you guys have been very, very tough to be able to score on, averaging just about 10 points per game against in your first 5. Not to say that you haven't done that in the past, but I feel like defense this year is carrying you guys a little bit more than maybe in years past.
Yeah, our defensive coaches do a tremendous job. Our kids are buying into it. They love defense. They swarm to the football. We rotate 27 to 28 different kids on offense and defense, so we keep a lot of fresh kids going on, especially on the D-line. They're doing a real nice job, and that's why where we are the last couple of years because of our defense.
Rob Davis, the 9th-year head coach of the Bengals of Barnegat, here with his senior quarterback, Sinjin Erskine, as Barnegat will take on the Panthers of Point Pleasant Borough. Our game of the week on the Shore Sports Network tomorrow, kickoff set for 7 o'clock. Sinjin, do you feel like that, you can almost obviously have maybe a ton of games left depending on where you guys sit in the playoff picture and how deep of a run you can go. But because you've been that guy who's been a starter since basically your sophomore year, you feel like you can kind of see that your high school career is almost coming to a close?
Yeah, it's really surreal for us. I mean, we've been playing together since being in 3rd grade, and our last home game could possibly be Halloween night against Lakewood. So, I mean, that's the last time we'll be in front of that home crowd, which is it's upsetting.
And that is quite a home crowd. Every time we go down there, we're impressed with the way the stands are full. First of all, it's first-class facilities. That your field is one of the better grass fields in the Shore. One of the few that doesn't have turf, so they've got to keep it in that shape. but your fans do come out. You know, what's the feeling in school? Do they feel like this is the year you get over the hump and get that state championship?
Yeah, I mean, we were so close last year, and just the school pride after that was amazing. We just want that. We just want to bring the school together.
Right.
Coach, when you think about it, obviously tomorrow night and the mantra is Ed usually gets ahead and tries to throw the kids the curveball talking about state championships. I know you're worrying about Point Barrow tomorrow night, which is, again,
a well-coached football team.
Our game of the week and a dangerous football team, yeah. I feel like. You know, didn't really play very well in their loss last week to Central, but consistently during the course of the year have hung around in a lot of games. Talk to us a little bit about what you see when you watch Point Barrow on film.
Playing Point Barrow at Point Barrow, that itself is a tough game. Coach Henry does a great job with his team. They were hit with a lot of injuries last year. We know that. And he went through a little bit of a tough season in terms of wins, losses, but he had a lot of guys out. They're all back. They're playing good football. And we're expecting a very good football game there from a very good traditional football power.
Are you at all surprised, you know, to go back to where we were at the beginning of this interview, are you surprised that four games into division that there's so much parity between the top five teams in the league?
You know, I didn't know what to expect. I knew a lot of teams were going to be better just because of the coaching staffs that they have and some of the talent that we know that the other teams had. So record-wise, I knew they're all going to be tough games. Just going into each game, you know, we have weaknesses, their strengths. It's all matchups.
Robbie, you're in a stretch here, you know, of counting last week with the Manasquan victory, but mm-hmm. Manasquan, Point Barrow, Lakewood, and Matawan, teams with some speed, well-coached teams. I mean, they're all well-coached, you know, in your division. But those four games, very difficult. And like I said, and Matt and I discussed prior to you coming on, each week is an elimination game. You can't afford to lose another time in this B-South.
Well, we're going to need to win six wins to get into the playoffs. Like right now, we would be the number one seed in South Jersey Group 3, but we're not in there. But, you know, we're still going for the conference championship, too, and we got to win games and let the chips fall where they fall. So we can't really worry about playoffs so much, but we got to win the day. And that's what we try and do, win the day, and tomorrow's the day. We got to win that game to get to our goals, what we want at the end of the year.
Sinjin, what's it like for you as a senior leader of this team? Just the overall progress, and I feel like it's now not just Barnegat football, but it's Barnegat football that's become a program here in the Shore Conference. You know, your level of consistency has been very good. You guys have been in the playoffs a couple of times. You've been part of division championships the last couple of years. Do you feel like the Bengals now, you know, 9 years into the program, which is still relatively young, have made its mark as a pretty good program here at the Shore?
Yes, I feel we've done a great job. I know for a fact Coach Davis does everything he possibly can to put us in the right position in games, and we played well. We've held our own, and it's just fun playing for Barnegat.
Sinjin, a little bit about your career. You started in Barnegat. You went to school, elementary, preschool, middle school, and then you went to Holy Spirit and then came back. A little bit about that situation.
Yeah, I mean, me and Sam actually went there together.
Sam Madden.
Madden, yes, and we just felt that it would give us more. Maybe more
exposure.
More exposure, yeah. And we got there, and Coach Roman left, and Coach Anucci came in, and he won the runner triple option, and I felt that I would have been better utilized, and Coach Davis just spread offense, and he tells me all the time I never should have left.
Well, he made a mistake, and he came back to Barnegat and fixed it. So.
Well, yeah. The only thing it really cost you was a few games at the beginning of your sophomore year, right?
Yeah, those were the worst four games I had to watch.
You had
ever.
To sit out 30 days with the state criteria for transfers. But I think in the long run it's worked out pretty good, huh, Rob?
Yeah.
Other than right now when every once in a while you can give him that I told you so.
Yeah. I get it all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Rob Davis and Sinjin Erskine here talking Barnegat Bengal football. Bengals will be on the air tomorrow, the Shore Sports Network, taking on the Panthers of Point Barrow. Sinjin, for you, you know, as Ed had mentioned, verbally committing already to Bucknell, do you feel like that was a good thing that you committed? Not necessarily on the early side, but early enough where you don't necessarily have to have it drag on through the course of the whole year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, me, Sam, and Manny really wanted to get our commitments out of the way so it could be the Barnegat football program going out there and playing, and everyone not worrying about where we're going. We wanted to be the team aspect, and I felt like doing that really showed that we were team players.
Why Bucknell?
Coach Susan's a great guy. I mean, he's gonna look out for me whether I'm the starter or the third player on the bench. So, I mean, it just felt like a great fit. I committed the first day I was up at campus.
Robbie, tell us a little bit about the recruitment of Manny Bowen. I mean, we're talking big time here. I mean, him and Sam going to big time schools, Big Ten schools, Wisconsin, and, of course, Manny going to Penn State. What was that like his junior year? And to me, it seemed like from the end of the season last year to the beginning of this year, boy, Manny Bowen just blossomed.
That's what happened. I mean, after the Delsey game, he was pretty dominant in that game. I mean, he had two touchdowns, one call back. He was all over the field on defense. Word gets out. College coaches come in the winter. Kansas came in, Charlie Weiss. And from that point on, you know, everybody piggybacks off the next guy. And all of a sudden, you get a reputation. And, you know, they saw the film, eyeball, and that's that.
You must have been a pretty busy man last winter.
Very busy, yeah. Very busy.
But,
yeah.
Rob, you know, not to say that it's commonplace to have Division I coaches knocking on the door, but for you guys at Barnegat, you've developed a nice little pattern of sending those guys onto pretty big schools the last several years.
You get a little bit of a rapport with some coaches, and they'll call you up to see how everybody else is doing around. And you get the film, they evaluate it, and it's got to go through their chain of commands too. And you know, you can't fool them. I mean, they look at the film. If they like something, they ask more questions. They send more stuff over, and you know, then the kids are getting looked at. But the bottom line is, when a coach comes in, that's their interview, and they get a chance to evaluate them. You know, to eyeball in the weight room or their academics. You know, that's huge.
Sinjin, the pass play is called. Coach calls the pass play, right? You drop back. How long do you wait before you start taking off?
One Mississippi, go.
I mean, you're always thinking that, hey, if nothing's open, maybe one or two looks, you're taking off, and you're a threat every time you do that.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I see those linebackers turn their backs, and I know that there's no one spying on me, I'm just going to take whatever they give me.
Okay, so that's what you're looking for. You're looking at linebackers, right? Your read?
Rob, you know, we'd be obviously remiss if we didn't ask you about it since you guys are here. The bump down into South Jersey Group 2, which I know, as you said, you've got to continue to win to try and make sure you lock a spot up in what is a very difficult bracket this year. You can't say, well, if we had been in South Jersey Group 3, we'd be maybe in a little bit better shape, because that's just not how things go. But in terms of the overall structure of the group, Buena, Haddonfield, Glassboro, and all right now at 5-0, that is a loaded
West
bracket
Effort.
This year.
Yeah,
and
West Effort.
Yeah, they got a loss. Come on.
We only talk about the undefeateds here.
It's a tough bracket. You know, I'm proud to say our name's being tossed around in that group, too. But, you know, I mean, we got to win tomorrow. We got to win tomorrow before we really can start focusing on that playoff stuff right now. We got to win today, tomorrow, to make it more of a clearer picture of what's going to go on. After tomorrow, it'll be a clearer picture for ourselves and for Point Barrow.
And, you know, for you guys, after tomorrow, you kind of get that bye week to settle in and then, you know, have an opportunity to, I would think at this point, get healthy, get yourself put back together, get ready for Lakewood, which could be for a division championship, get through that last week of the regular season, and then push ahead. You know, to go six games, which after tomorrow night it will be, before you get a bye, that's a long time. I'm sure there's a lot of guys licking some wounds right now.
To be honest with you, we have not talked about anything but Point Barrow this whole week. We have so much respect for their coaching staff and their program and how dangerous of a team they can be. And, you know, so we're not talking about that, the PowerPoints or this or that. I don't allow my coaches to talk about it. I feel very uncomfortable talking about that stuff because it's Point Barrow, and that's all we talk about is Point Barrow.
Sinjin, excuse me, what do you expect out of Barrow defensively tomorrow night when you look over their D?
Oh, well, there are 3-3 sacks. They're going to slant everywhere, and they're going to try to blitz on us a little bit. So we're just going to do Barney football and just try to execute.
Sinjin, when you think about the one game that you guys had dropped earlier in the year, not to bring up a bad one, but Central 21-15 in week two for you guys, you know, during the course of a season, they'll say, you know, if we drop one earlier in the year, maybe it provides a little bit of a wake-up call, because I would say going into the year, you guys were a fairly prohibitive favorite by, and I'll say the media, which you take that for whatever it's worth, to win Class B South. for that game coming as an early loss. What did that mean for you guys?
Let me take that question real quick. After that loss, I took the blame. We were out-coached at the end of the game. I made some mass changes in our program, and from that point on, we played better football. So I made some changes from myself. I don't call the offense anymore. I kind of do my head coaching stuff. Like I have two good coordinators, Chris Clerico and Kevin Smith, my D coordinators. I kind of delegated a lot of stuff. It's been running a lot better the last 3 weeks. And Central kicked our butt that last half. We made some corrections, and we're a better football team right now for that loss, and I'm pretty excited about the future right now.
Well, that's good. St. John, from a player perspective, would you agree? I mean, that provided, even for you guys, Coach, taking the blame himself, but from a player perspective, I'm sure you guys are the ones who are out there. You have to take some responsibility for that as well. And, you know, a week two loss, you would think, okay, we better maybe stop reading press clippings and worry about the rest of the season now coming up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've been really focusing on, I guess, the hype the few weeks before leading up to the season. And we just need to get back to Barnegat football, putting your head down, doing the hard thing, doing the things that no one else is doing, and just get back to playing Barnegat football.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming down here tonight. Looking forward to seeing you up close and in person. I know so far through the year it's been a bit of a grind and some big ones coming up. Barnegat will have Pointboro tomorrow, then the bye, Lakewood, and then Mattawan before hopefully a berth back in the state playoffs. Coach, always good to see you. Thanks for getting us all prepped and ready for tomorrow. And St. John, congratulations on the early commit to Bucknell. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That is Rob Davis and St. John Erskine. Barnegat Bengals tomorrow on the Shore Sports Network, taking on the Panthers of Pointboro. We'll step out here and take a timeout. When we come back, we'll head north of the county border and talk about the Braves of Manalapan. Right after this quick break, you're listening to the Thursday night Investors Bank High School football show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School football show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Another great start for the Braves of Manalapan as we welcome you back here from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River. Matt Harmon and Sarluka carrying the load tonight in place of Kevin Williams, who is off and on assignment. This is the Investors Bank High School football show. Good spot with the Bengals of Barnegat. They'll be our game of the week tomorrow night. Barnegat and Pointboro from the home of the Panthers. Kickoff set for 7 o'clock. 5-0 to begin the year this year. The Manalapan Braves fresh off an 11-1 season a year ago. Ed Guerreri, the eighth-year head coach, good enough to give us a couple minutes with an outstanding senior running back, Imamu Mayfield. Guys, thanks for making the trip down. Know a little bit of a hike. Good to see you both.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you for having me.
What was the route tonight? Was it 33 over to the Parkway, or was it
9 to 195 to the Parkway?
Oh, all right. That's a good little route. Ed, you should have sent directions.
Yeah, well, as long as you stayed away from Hooper Avenue, because it took me, I live in Brick, and it took me an hour to get here.
Coach,
that wasn't a way to go.
Coach, let's talk about the year. Obviously, the expectations off of what you guys did a season ago, high again this year. And so far, I'm sure you could pick apart little things here and there, but at 5-0, I would have to imagine you are very excited with how your team is playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming into this season, we didn't have the same, we always have the same expectations, but we weren't being talked up, I guess, the way we were in the previous years. So, because we had, rightfully so, we had a very large graduation. And we thought we had a very good team coming back, but we thought that we were going to have to grow into it and improve a little bit each week and get better as we went along. I'm actually a little surprised at how we hit the ground running, and we've been pretty good from the get-go.
Well, the last couple years, you guys certainly have had the target on your back. With that last piece of the puzzle just so difficult to get in terms of the state playoff picture. But divisional-wise here in the Shore Conference, you guys have basically run roughshod over everyone. 29 straight against Shore Conference teams, 31 straight overall when you think about just the success that you guys have. And you made mention of it, not everyone really talking about Manalapan going into the year. Was that a bit of a relief for maybe you as coaches and just the players to say, you could finally almost use that as a motivational tool, which you haven't been able to do in the past couple of years? Hey, guys, this is not – everyone doesn't think we're going to be all that good this year. Now we can go out and kind of prove them wrong a little bit.
No, that's not our motivation. Our motivation is that we feel that we've gotten this program to the point where we're ready to compete for state championship every year. That's our expectations. That's the reason why we start working out January 2nd, and we go right through until the start of the season and putting all that work and effort in. We feel that there's a great foundation in place, a great program in place. We've graduated a lot of great football players over the years, and we've tried to maintain a high standard.
Well, Coach, you talked about getting off quick this year, and this guy sitting next to me, Mamu, certainly has provided that punch that you needed to get off. I've seen him play a couple times. I saw you in the preseason. I said, boy, he's going to have a great year, and he certainly has not disappointed. I want to know what your off-season conditioning and how you prepared yourself to be the every down back this year.
Well, at the end of last season, I decided to wrestle, and I decided to wrestle to, you know, condition myself. And also after wrestling season, I'd wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym, work out, go to school, work out after track, you know, just keep working.
So wrestling and track in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
You think that got you ready, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Wrestling certainly made you a little tougher, huh?
Yeah, mentally.
Mentally, yeah. It's a tough sport. It's a grueling sport.
And Mamu, when you think about your numbers so far this year, I mean, they're pretty much off the charts. You're right at the top, towards the top of the rushing list, statistical-wise, 798 yards, 18 touchdowns was the tops among anyone. Are you one of those guys who just feels like you can just continue to get the ball, not worry about taking the punishment over the course of the year? You can stay fresh during the course of a game, give it to you 20, 25 times, you're one of those guys who will get better as the game goes on?
Absolutely, and that's the reason why I work so hard in the off season. And whatever my team needs me for, then, you know, it might be tough, you know, in the fourth quarter when, like, I'm tired or out of breath or something, and the defense, you know, they're wearing down as well. So, you know, I just got to overcome the fatigue or whatever is bothering me and just provide for my team.
Coach, has he had to play in the fourth quarter yet?
We've had a few.
But your schedule certainly has worked in your favor. You know, you got rid of some early season, you know, tough ball games, but now the next three, Middletown South, RBC, and Freehold Borough, combined 14-1. The championship in the conference is on the line in those games. What do you think about the schedule and the way it's worked out for you?
You're going to think this is just a big cliche here.
Oh, I know. You're going to about Middletown South, but you know what's ahead, obviously.
We all know what's ahead.
All right.
All right. I would be lying if I didn't say that. But
right.
We're so focused on Middletown South. That's our main focus, and that's our only focus. They're a great football team. They have a great tradition. Year in and year out, they're well coached, and this year they have a really good group of football players.
Imamu, something's got to break tomorrow night. You guys are averaging 50 points a game, you know, 50, almost 51 a game. They have shut out four of their five opponents, losing only to South Brunswick. What breaks tomorrow?
Hopefully it's
the offense keeps going, right?
Yeah, it's going to start at the line of scrimmage with our big guys against their guys. And I have faith in my line, you know, with Selmayr and Petey Williams and Tardona, you know. I think they're going to do well tomorrow.
Coach, a lot of people into the preseason thought Middletown South might have been a year away. A lot of young guys up and down their lineup, a lot of young kids that have really stepped up. Why the success this early for Middletown South? Is it the program, the overall strength of the overall program?
Well, that's part of it. The coaching is definitely a big part of it. They have a great system in place. And they have good football players. You know, if you're a good football player, it doesn't matter if you're a sophomore or a junior or a senior. Those young men that they have running around out there, when you watch them on film and you watch them in person, which I had the opportunity to, very fast on defense, very aggressive. They fly around. And offensively, have a big offensive line. They like to run the ball. And they have some good receivers and a good quarterback.
Coach, like so many here, and Ed Guerrieri and Imamu Mayfield giving us some time here on our Thursday night high school football show from Manalapan. Braves will take on Middletown South tomorrow at home. You know, you've been able to do something of which Middletown South was so used to doing to you and other teams, and that has put together a lot of wins consecutively. You know, they always say about a rivalry, it's got to go back and forth a little bit. You've been able to beat them 4 years in a row, something that nobody in a division has been able to do. Just talk about the success you've been able to have against that particular program, which for so long dominated not just the division, but the Shore Conference as a whole.
Yeah, well, our kids get up for that game. They get up for all the division games. You know, unfortunately, we haven't played up until 4 years ago. We hadn't played Middletown South since, I think, 99, around there. Because they changed the divisions around back then. So back in 2010, they brought the old A North back together again, and we've been playing ever since. But we love playing in big games, and when you play Middletown South, you know you're in a big game.
Imamu, I want to talk about the guy that I really like on your team, and it's the guy that you look up his butt every time you come out of the huddle, Ben Sikowski, your big fullback. He is having a heck of a year, and I just like the way he plays on both sides of the football.
Yeah, he's very physical. He wrestled with me as well.
Yep.
And, you know, he works hard in the weight room. He runs hard in practice. You know, he goes full speed all the time, so...
He looks like a crazy guy, is he?
Yeah, he's very crazy.
Yeah, there you go. I picked him out right away, Matt.
Brother John right now, part of
having
the
year,
Monmouth
right?
University football program. Coach, you think about tomorrow night, obviously, for you guys, early in the season. I mean, here's your scores, and we kind of alluded to this a little bit early. 41-0, 51-0, 64-28, 56-34. 42-14. I mean, you're averaging about 50 points per game, but a couple of shutouts in there as well. So I think, you know, so many people just look and say, how many points did they score? It's not very easy for people to score against you either.
Yeah, well, if we don't play defense tomorrow night, we'll have a long night. We got to play defense tomorrow night. There's no secrets. You know, a successful program, successful formula for winning a football game. Run the football, stop the run. So we got to play real good defense tomorrow night for us to be successful.
Coach, I like the way your quarterback has stepped up this year, Dan Arenella.
Anarelli, yeah.
Anarelli. Tell me a little bit about him.
Dan, last year as a junior, did a very good job for us. He, in the offseason, he's grown physically. He's matured mentally. And he's bigger. He's stronger. He has a better arm. He's done a great job of running the whole show for us, putting us in the right plays, making the right reads, the right checks. And I think he's been outstanding so far. He takes care of the ball. And he's one of our leaders. He's a team captain, and he's having a great year. Very quietly under the radar, but he's having a great year.
You know, I saw your Sayreville game. I was on the sideline that Saturday night, and you know, tremendous offensive football game on both sides, you know, and their big star, you know, Hartsfield single-handedly kept them in the game. But a little byplay, and you probably don't realize it, but I was talking to your kicker every now and then on the sideline, you know, and in that particular game, he had three kicks blocked by Hartsfield in that game, a field goal and two extra points. Well,
which is why you're no longer allowed on the sideline.
Well, yeah, but wait a minute. That's half the story. So I was talking to him. I said, what's going on? He says, he beats me on the side. And he says, I've only had six kicks blocked in my career, and he's kicked since his freshman year.
Yes, he's been a kicker.
All six have been by him because you've played Sayreville so many times.
Absolutely.
You probably didn't even realize that, but that's crazy.
Yeah. he's, you know, Hartsfield's a tremendous football player. There was a little issue with our whole operation that night. You know, you're supposed to have it in between 1.45, 1.5 seconds. We were a little slow.
A
little slow. We weren't horizontally stretched as much as we would want to be, so it kind of constricted a little bit, gave them a little quicker edge. But we fixed all of that, and, you know, we got to play real good defense. And if we do, we have a major weapon in Mike Cangiano.
Yeah,
people don't realize the field position that he gives us with kicking and punching.
Touchbacks,
it's a major advantage.
Mamu, when you think about it from a player perspective, and I know Coach probably told you on the way down, don't say anything that I'm going to have to yell at you later on, either tonight or
bulletin
tomorrow.
Bulletin board material?
Or at practice.
Well, let me just say something real quick. I would never have to worry about that with this young man.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
He's
well, I'm going to see if we can trip him up.
Yeah, no, he's good. Go ahead. Give me the best shot.
You got Middletown South tomorrow. You got Red Bank Catholic. You got Freehold Borough. The cliche is you take them one at a time. But as a player, as a guy who's 17, 18 years old, it's hard not to look just a little bit ahead and say, you know, after what you've had the first 5 weeks of the season, the next three are extremely, extremely difficult. My question is more of, do you feel like you guys are prepared? Because it's about to get real hard, and that's not to disrespect anyone you've played up until this point, but the next three really lay out, this is your season over the course of the next 3 weeks.
Well, you're right. We do play a couple of tough games the next few weeks, and I don't think my team is where we want to be. We're never satisfied with what we do, and we're just getting better every week. So, you know.
One more guy.
Very generic.
Very generic.
Good job, Coach. Good job, Coach.
One more guy I want to mention, Coach Joe Mendez. You know, seems like the glue that holds you together.
Outstanding season. Another captain, a three-year starter, second-team All-Shore kid last year. Joe is having a great year. Between him, Kyle Mullen, and Ben Sikowski up front, we're giving a lot of people a lot of fits up front, and they're as good as it gets up there. They're athletic, they're strong, they're fast. They've been doing a tremendous job, and Joe's the leader of that group.
Coach, you know, so many people associate your name with the program, and it's kind of weird to say that this is your second go-round as a head coach with Manalapan.
Yes.
You know, there was that stretch in there for a couple of years. It was Tom Gallagher, and the program continued to get better, and then you took it back over. Does it feel like it's different at all this time around? I mean, I know that you've always kind of been connected with everything, and over the course of the last couple of years, you guys have had great success, but the second time now being a head coach as opposed to those first couple of years, what's different about Ed Guerrieri now as opposed to back then?
I mean, I've been there since 97. This is my 18th season at Manalapan. I had the great opportunity to work with Steve Bush when he was the head coach there. Learned a lot under him. The first time around was another learning experience. I'm extremely lucky we have our football staff intact for a long time. And when you can keep your staff intact, it's a big advantage. It's not so much the scheme. It's the belief. Kids believe when they look at our coaches and they look in our eyes and we tell them this is the way things are going to be done and this is what's going to happen. When you get kids to all buy in, it makes things easier. It started 14 years ago with our weightlifting program, and it's continued. And like I said, we have a strong foundation. Kids have all bought in, and they make our job easier.
Imamu. Relaxed guy on the sideline or in practice? What do you think? Make believe he's not here.
Yeah, I'm relaxed. I try.
No, not you. I'm talking about him.
Oh.
I know you're relaxed.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely relaxed. Like
under control, huh?
Yeah, in the Mid-North game when we were down in like 2 seconds, 14 points, and, you know, he stayed calm and everybody looks up to him. So as long as he's calm, then we're calm and we ended up coming back.
Coach, a little bit about your history. You just gave it a little bit, but from Staten Island, right?
Yes.
Cottonville, I believe?
No, Wagner High School.
Oh, Wagner High School.
Yes.
Okay, but you got a couple coaches that you went to high school with?
We have a bunch of guys that are connected. Joe Tetley's my offensive line coach. He's been with us since 2001. He was my coach. He was the offensive line coach when I was in high school.
Right.
He left Wagner High School and became the head football coach at Newdorf. He was an assistant coach at Kane for a while. Dom Lepore is another Staten Islander. He's from Tottenville.
Tottenville, right.
You know, he was the head coach at Township, and he was a coach at Tottenville and played at Tottenville. And Bill Smith is our linebackers coach. He played at Newdorp, and he coached at Newdorp. So we have a big Staten Island contingency.
Played for Dom, I believe, played for my college roommate, right? Ciccarelli? Coach Ciccarelli, didn't he?
I think it might have been right after Chick left. Yeah, it might have been right after him. I believe so. He might have been right in there towards the end, but yeah, absolutely.
Never lost that accent, though, huh?
No.
Hold on to that like gold, don't you?
No.
Imamu, you're talking before about the other sports that you participate in, why they're so important. We were passed along a nice little nugget about some of your family history. Why not boxing?
When I was younger, I used to box, but then when I started playing Pop Warner, you know.
Well, tell us why.
Huh?
Tell us why.
Well, I mean...
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad, yeah. He was
pretty good.
Yeah, he was a world champion prize fighter.
Cruiserweight?
Yeah, he won the title in 1997.
You remember those days?
I went to one of his fights. I didn't see the championship fight, though.
You could watch it, though, now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he doesn't really talk about it, though. You know, he just likes to focus on how I'm doing. He's my number one fan, and he's always supporting me and stuff, so...
Any, like, inter-squad boxing matches? Set the ring up? Because I would say he'd be automatically the top contender for a championship belt.
Yeah, absolutely. No inter-squad matches, but let me say one of the reasons for his success, for Mamo's success, is that he goes about his business like a prize fighter. He's very diligent with his working out, his lifting, his running, taking ice baths after games, getting himself prepared. He prepares himself like a prize fighter. He's probably the most well-conditioned athlete I've ever coached. Our kids had to begin at 8 o'clock this summer to work out I would come in at 7. He would come in with me at 7. He would start an hour before everybody else and finish probably later than everybody else.
Ed usually takes an ice bath after we get done with the radio show. It's back behind the banner here, so he knows exactly what you're talking about. You're a senior, right?
Yes. Yes.
What about college plans moving forward?
As of right now, I don't have any serious college looks, but hopefully I get one.
You keep running the ball as well as you are, someone's going to pop up on the radar screen for you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Well, it's certainly good to be able to talk stuff. Coach, one more before we kind of wrap this one up. I did some quick math. 27-2 over the course of the last 2.5 years. If I asked you about the 27 wins, you could probably give me a little bit here and a little bit there. The two losses, I'm sure, are the ones that stick out. And that must be, you know, I would think the mantra for the program. You know, it's not all about winning a state championship, but for you guys, that's the last hurdle that you've been able to get over. And I'm sure that's the theme, even though it's take one game at a time, that has to be in the back of coaches, players, fans, administration, student body. That's the last piece of the puzzle for Manalapan football.
Yeah, I believe so. But I tell my kids, you know, we don't feel sorry for ourselves. When you play for a state championship and you lose, it hurts. It hurts a lot. And the reason why it hurts a lot is because there's such high expectations. Our expectations were not to win A North. Our expectations are not to make it to the playoffs. Our expectations were to win a state championship. And when you don't reach it, it hurts. But I tell them, listen, this is a great life lesson. We're not going to roll over into the fetal position and lie down and cry. What doesn't kill you makes you better. And we've worked harder every year, and we've gotten back to that point every year, and we will keep working harder, and we will get back there again.
Yeah, part of Central Jersey Group 5, which again right now is a pretty tough bracket. Looking at it, South Brunswick, Hillsboro, Montgomery, and Manalapan, the top four teams. Guys, I know it's a long ride down here. We appreciate you so much coming down, especially as you get set for that big one tomorrow against Middletown South. Amamu, best of luck the rest of your senior year. Enjoy all of it. Looking forward to hearing your name over the course of the next couple weeks. And Coach, obviously, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Ed Guerrieri and Amamu Mayfield from Manalapan. We're step out here and take a time out. When we come back after the news, Kevin Callahan, the Monmouth University football head coach, will join us, talk about some Hawk stuff. We'll step out here for a brief pause. We're back right after this on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Good first hour now in the books as we turn things into hour number two. Our good buddy Harrison Strebbins back in the studios tonight. Tom Tremblay, of course, handling everything on the technological side of things here. If you are listening to this one on the Shore Sports Network, great. You can also be watching this one on our YouTube page as well. Go to shoresportsnetwork.com and check out the link that's associated with the Investors Bank High School Football Show. Monmouth this week on the bye. The head coach of the Hawks, of course, is Kevin Callahan, who's good enough to give us some time on the bye week. MU fresh off a thrashing over Columbia over the course of last weekend. Coach, it's Matt Harmon and Ed Sarluka. Tonight it's Kevin Williams who's on assignment, so I don't want to hear, you know, that I'm the one who's always getting the night off, but it's always good to talk to you, and I would imagine for everyone associated with the program, it's nice to be able to take a deep breath and enjoy a weekend off.
Well, it certainly is. You know, we're at this point, we're at the midpoint in the season, we're 5-1. We've come off two pretty good, pretty convincing performances on both sides of the ball. And I really think this bye comes at the right time. It's an important week for us in terms of resting up, healing up, and gearing up for the big south portion of the schedule, which is right in front of us.
Coach, we're halfway through. As you said, 5-1, tremendous record. Probably, you know, you'd like to be 6-0, but 5-1 you'll take. Second half against the Big South. Let's evaluate the program, but the season up to this point, offensively, defensively, and special teams. Maybe a short little synopsis on how they have performed during this first half.
Well, I think that on the offensive side of the ball, we've grown each week. We've developed. You know, Brandon Hill has really come into his own as not only the leader of our offense, but as a top performer. You know, throwing for 300-yard games on a number of occasions. very happy with what LaVon Chaney has been able to do now that he's carrying more of the load. And, you know, disappointed, obviously, and we certainly miss KB Asante. He is a terrific back, as you guys know. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we were banking on having this with us, particularly as we get into the Big South portion of the schedule. But I'm happy with what LaVon has done. As Zach Welch has stepped up, Ed Royds has successfully made the move from a defensive back over to running back, and I think he's showing some promise there. Our receivers are doing a good job. And our offensive line, although we have not started the same five guys in any of the six games that we've played, I think is coming together very well. Brian Gabriel is doing a great job of bringing that unit together. On the defensive side, I think we've gotten better and better each week. We're not completely thrilled with some of the fourth quarter points that we've given up in each of the last 2 weeks, but you know, those were situations where we didn't have our top group in there. But those guys that get on the field have to do a better job. So we have to improve our depth on the defensive side. We have to make sure that no matter when we sub or how deep into the depth chart we go, they're guys that can get the job done. And the special teams, I'm happy with what we're doing. Ryan Moore is having his best year so far as our punter. He's over 40 yards on his average. Our return game is very good. Matter of fact, our kickoff return is in the top 10 in the country and the top in the Big South. I think our place kick team, Lucas Santangelo, is doing a good job, although he has had a couple of games where he's struggled with his mechanics slightly, but I think he's got those all straightened out. So I like where we're going. I think we're on the rise. You know, we're certainly not where we need to be. We're not perfect in all areas yet, but I like the progress that we've made in each week through the first six.
Coach, with Monmouth on the bye this week and so much talk, obviously, during the course of the year about becoming a full member of the Big South, and no disrespect to Delaware State, Wagner, or Duquesne, Lehigh, Robert Morris, or Columbia, but obviously moving up now into the last five games against Presbyterian, Charleston Southern, Liberty, Coastal Carolina, and Gardner-Webb. Just, you know, and again, I know it's one at a time and you're not worrying about anything other than Presbyterian, but just as a whole, for the casual fan who might say, boy, Mama's 5-1, they should be able to do real well in this league. I'm not sure that anyone quite has a full understanding of just how good the Big South really is with those other five teams that Monmouth will play.
Well, you're absolutely right, Matt, and you know, now is when it starts. And you know, we've got a 5-week grind here playing excellent football teams. A week ago, three of the five that you mentioned were in the top 25 nationally. You know, Charleston Southern lost by 1 point at Vanderbilt the other night. We've got some great teams that we're going to be playing here. It's a great level of football in the Big South. Every team, week in and week out, is going to be a tremendous test for our guys and for our program. And that's why I said this bye came at a great time. It's allowed us to work a little bit, to practice a little bit, but to rest up and heal up.
Coach, we would be remiss not to mention your outstanding linebacker, Peyton Minich, who this week was voted by the College Football Performance Awards as the linebacker of the week for his outstanding play and three-interception game against Columbia.
Well, Ed, Peyton had a terrific game against Columbia, and you know, it was a lot of his preparation. He knew exactly where he needed to be. He had there was a couple of plays where he just had tremendous reaction to the ball, won a diving interception, and he just put himself in a position to make plays. And then he made them when the ball came his way. It was a great effort on his part. Three interceptions for a linebacker is almost unheard of. And not only did he create the interceptions and give our offense the ball back, but he did it in giving our offense great field position as well. Just a great effort by Peyton. He's only a sophomore. He's growing each and every week, and we're very, very proud of him. We're very happy with what he's doing.
Coach, obviously, so much of the focus this week in terms of just getting players healthy and recruiting for coaches, but some good off-season news breaking this week. Earlier in the week, involving Monmouth football, as the athletic department making the announcement that the first two FBS schools now on the schedule, Central Michigan in 2015 and Kent State in 2016. There's in an interview that you and I had done on the Monmouth website, but for those listening tonight, talk about the implications and just the overall effect that playing the next level up for Monmouth football, what that'll mean for the Hawks.
Well, you know, playing FBS games is something that we certainly aspire to. it's something that I think, you know, is indicative of the progress that our program has made in the last 20 years, that we can go out and play FBS teams. There's certainly some revenue that's generated by playing those games. It aids in recruiting tremendously. But it also, though, the type of games that the players in our program want to play. We've always been a program that's challenged ourselves with our schedule. We're going to reach as far as we can and see how we can match up and what we can do. And we have two great opportunities coming in 2015 and 2016.
Coach, you know, as I mentioned, final question here for us. With Monmouth on the bye this week, I would imagine that recruiting is the focus in terms of the coaching staff and everyone basically out the door and trying to see as many places, kids, and teams in terms of games and just getting feels for that next group of Monmouth players that will be coming in. Everyone's all over the place this week, right?
It has been a very busy week for us, Matt. You know, we brought the guys in and we met and practiced on Sunday. Monday the guys were off and our entire staff was out recruiting. Most of it on Monday was locally here in the Shore. We practiced Tuesday and Wednesday, and our guys even got out after practice in the midday and late afternoon throughout New Jersey and in the local area. And we're completely off on Thursday and Friday. So today, tomorrow, and even Saturday, our guys are out and not only going and visiting the guys who have committed to us, but also going in and watching those guys practice who we hope will be our next level of commitments. Everybody's on the road. We've kind of are scattered throughout our recruiting footprint, and hopefully we're getting a lot of positive work done.
Coach, we appreciate the time here tonight. Enjoy a weekend off. Monmouth back at it next Saturday afternoon. They'll be on the road in Clinton, South Carolina against Presbyterian. Always good to talk to you, Coach. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Ed.
That is head coach Kevin Callahan talking Monmouth football. Hawks right now at 5-1. This portion of our broadcast brought to you by Brielle Orthopedics. For game results over the weekend, visit shoresportsnetwork.com. Our football scoreboard is presented by Brielle Orthopedics. Proud to support all Shore Conference athletes. Visit BrielleOrtho.com. We'll take a quick timeout here. When we come back on the other side, our final segment with Scott Stump from the Shore Sports Network. We'll break down this weekend's game, maybe a little poke at some of the playoff stuff as well, as most teams at the midway point of their season or a little bit past that. We're back right after this quick break on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Each week, you can vote for the Ace Outdoor Equipment, Outdoor Power Equipment Player of the Week at ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Look for the fan voting after the weekend's games. Always a busy, busy job putting together who might be on that list among those who chooses. Scott Stump, who gives us a few minutes here on a Thursday night in our final segment. One eye with what's going on with us, Scott, and I would imagine one eye on that Pats-Jets game. I know so far those Jets are just breaking your heart.
Oh man, yeah, this is kind of the baton death march of games. You just know the beating is coming, but I'm still going to end up watching it.
It's almost like, and dare I say, as we talk about our final sponsor here tonight, Gold Coast Cadillac, it's almost like picking our games week in and week out, which the gentleman to my left, Ed Saraluka, has a big smile on his face, but yours truly, and you, and Kevin Williams, boy, our picks, for the most part, have pretty much been horrendous.
Yeah, last week was pretty much a straight-up dumpster fire. I almost didn't even want to. And the funny thing is, of course, I'm the one updating all these games on Twitter and everything and just groaning with every update as I see Ed's lead increasing and my picks just going up in smoke.
You can check out our picks this weekend at shoresportsnetwork.com. Picks presented by Gold Coast Cadillac, located on Route 35 at Oakhurst, a half mile south of the Monmouth Mall. Overall, Scott, you know, it's a big weekend coming up. We spent some time talking with Ed Guerrieri and Imamu Mayfield about that big one that will take place tomorrow night in Manalapan. So much on the line in terms of that A North championship when Middletown South and the Braves get together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a huge game because, and as you guys detailed earlier, such a great polar opposite. It's a Middletown South defense that has four shutouts in five games. I mean, Alvin offense averaging just under 51 points a game. Something has to give. One area to watch that's been big between these two teams the last 4 years, special teams. 2 years ago, Saeed Blacknall returned a punt for a touchdown and a four-point win for Manalapan. Last year, John Chung with a 91-yard kickoff return for a touchdown for Manalapan. The 2 years before when they beat them, you know, they made, you know, block kicks and made big plays on special teams. So that's been a huge advantage for Manalapan. We'll see if Middletown South can at least get a stalemate in that area.
The other big one, Scott, Brick Memorial will host Jackson in an elimination game in the A-South. Memorial playing very well right now, has run off four straight with Tim Santiago at the quarterback. He is running his slot option very well, Walt Curry's. Jackson coming off a huge win against Toms River North. How do you see that one?
Jackson just looked tremendous last week against Toms River North. I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing. If it becomes some kind of shootout, can the Brick Memorial offense keep up? I mean, the Brick Memorial's offense could be their best defense in this game, you know, grinding out those drives with the flex zone. Santiago's been getting more comfortable every week, you know, exploding off that mesh point, and they're not thinking as much, just reacting and going. But as Walt Curry put it to me, Jackson Memorial, with an already good offense, adding Matt Castronova last week, he said they turned an explosive offense into a nuclear bomb. And as we saw, you know, Castronova went 70 yards the first time he even touched the ball last week. He had 170 yards. Jackson Memorial just looks tremendous right now with the addition of Castronova. And I think Brick's going to have their hands full. And this is a separation game, you know. The winner is going to stay breathing down Brick's neck in A-South, whereas the loser will be looking more towards solidifying their playoff spot and thinking more of the postseason than the division race.
When you think about maybe a deceptively good game, Scott, on what is a busy Friday and not such a busy Saturday, in Class B Central, there is a game that I'm particularly interested in because it looks, at least on paper, it's good offense, really good offense against really good defense. When Modern Day Prep will play host to Shore Regional, that one will go a long way to determining that division champion.
Absolutely. I mean, Modern Day comes in averaging 40 points a game. Shore's only giving up 7 points a game. So, again, something's going to have to give. Modern Day scored a school record 54 points in the first half against South River last week. Christian Palmer, their senior quarterback, has 1,400 yards combined and over 20 touchdowns combined between rushing and passing. So he's been unstoppable so far. The big thing for Shore is Doug Goldsmith, their standout junior linebacker and fullback. He will be back in the lineup after having missed pretty much the whole season with injuries. So that's a huge return for the Blue Devils. And the question is, you know, can Modern Day go from a contender to a legitimate division title threat? Because Shore is the defending champion. Modern Day has been knocking on the door. They've never won a division title, I believe, in their school history. So for them to get this one, that would be huge. And really only left would be Point Beach on their way to a title. And if Shore wins, then their game with Point Beach on Halloween becomes almost a de facto division title game. But it's really, are we going to find out, is this Modern Day team truly for real, and are they going to get over that hump to being a championship team?
A game that I will attend on Saturday afternoon, Rumson at Manasquan. That's an elimination game for their seasons. Rumson coming in with two losses, Manasquan coming in off a loss to Barnegat. Number one, does Charlie Volker play on Saturday, and how do you see that one coming?
Well, I spoke to Coach Brian Bassler at the end of the Long Branch game last week, and he said Volker is definitely a go. He texted me the other day, you know, yesterday, that he's been practicing great. He's been looking good, probably in the best shape he's been in since the opener against Matawan. So he should be ready to go, and we're going to find out if that high ankle sprain's okay, because you know that field at Manasquan has a million craters ready to swallow anybody's ankle. So that will get tested right away. But, yeah, I think with Volker back in the lineup, it'll be interesting to see how he and Mike O'Connor, their standout sophomore quarterback, work at full power. And then for Manasquan, you know, they're always so tough on their home field with James McAlary running the ball and a solid defense. So, you know, this is a huge swing game for both teams as far as power points are concerned for their respective brackets.
Scott, does Toms River South have anything to worry about Saturday night in the game's last weekend matchup with Southern Regional coming to Detweiler Stadium?
Given that Southern's offense has somewhat struggled to score through their first couple games, when you have Tymir Berry, you're going to put some points on the board and get some people up on their feet. So I think they should be okay. Southern's a gritty defensive team. I think they're an underrated defensive team, but The main question is whether they can keep up on the scoreboard when Barry starts doing his thing.
Who is, and I'll say this, having looked at our picks that got put up, and I was quite surprised to see that fresh off their big win over Brick, and I understand that, a couple of us of among the five picked Wall to beat Freehold. So I'll give you the question. Among the favorites this weekend, who is on upset alert?
I think Freehold a little bit because we're just going to find out, is Wall for real? Was that a one-week wonder, aberration kind of thing, or did they really turn a corner with their offense behind Matt Cooley and a good defensive performance? So I think that Freehold team, you know, we'll have to be careful, obviously, considering what Wall did last week. I wouldn't think you could call it a necessarily upset if Manalapan lost to Middletown South, considering they're both ranked in the top four. I think John Vianney has been tremendous at number three, but Raritan can be dangerous with Derek Ernst running the ball. If they get into a shootout, you never know what could happen, but obviously you still give Vianney the edge there. But out of those teams, I think, you know, I mean, and then Jackson Memorial has another tough game against another ranked team in Brick Memorial. Long Branch facing Ocean. Ocean's really struggled to score, and the way Demir Willis has been running the ball for Long Branch, you have to like them as a pretty solid favorite in that game.
Scott, by the way, no comment on my comments on my picks this week. Did you notice that I made a few comments after my pick?
Oh, they were tremendous. I didn't know. I don't think I can really comment on them on the air.
No, you can't.
But they were, yes, they were funny. I mean, now you're in the lead and just having fun.
Yeah, now I'm getting cocky. I'm getting cocky.
On top of it.
Still plenty of time for that to turn around,
yes,
for at least someone. I don't care who else wins. It just can't be Ed. Scott, final question before we say goodnight here with you. Quick little take on our game tomorrow that we will broadcast, Barnegat and Point Borough. Again, we've kind of went with the theme tonight that several of these games this weekend are elimination-type games, and that B-South matchup with five teams right now all at 3-1, a second loss could be very costly for anybody at this stretch of the season.
Absolutely. It's definitely a separation game. I mean, you got to like the way Barnegat's been playing the last couple weeks. It seems like that central loss was a wake-up call for them, and they have played like it. Point Borough, you know, just struggled against the run game with Mike Pickford in central, so you got to see if they could slow down St. John Erskine and company on the Barnegat side. And I really like the way Barnegat's defense has been playing. And Point Borough has struggled at times to put up points against top opponents this year. So I'd give Barnegat the edge in it, but that B-South is so wild that I feel like you can't predict those games week to week.
You tomorrow will be at the home of the Braves, I'm assuming?
That's correct. That's going to be a big one.
How about our partner in crime, Bob Batters?
Bob will be at the Jackson Memorial, Rick Memorial
Brick
Showdown
Memorial
at A's house.
All right, so we'll have all the weekend's activity covered, and obviously check us out at SureSportsNetwork.com. Scott, always appreciate the time dropping the knowledge for us here on a Thursday night. Go Jets with a question mark at the end. How's that?
All I'm envisioning is a stiff drink by about halftime.
That sounds good for everyone. Stumper, enjoy your football weekend.
All right, you too, guys.
On cue, the
Patriots
scoring.
Just hit a bomb for a touchdown, Scott.
Maybe end of the first quarter, that drink will pour a little bit quicker. We appreciate everyone swinging by, giving us the time here tonight. Rob Davis, St. John Erskine, Barnegat tomorrow night will play Point Pleasant Borough. That is our game of the week on the Shore Sports Network, 1160, 1310 a.m. Ed Guerrieri and Amamu Mayfield coming by and talking Braves football as well. Kevin Callahan, of course, talking Monmouth Hawk stuff, and Scott Stump in that last segment continuing to do a great job for us here at ShoreSportsNetwork.com. For Ed Saraluca, of course, myself, Matt Harmon, Tom Chamberlain on the engineering side, and Harrison Strevin back in the studios. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show. Tomorrow we'll be at Point Pleasant Borough, 7 o'clock kickoff, with the Panthers taking on the Bengals of Barnegat. Have a great football weekend.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.